AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hi friends, and welcome to your midweek Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town football podcast. I'm your host, Mark Heath. The sun is shining. I hope you're still enjoying this lovely Easter weather. Ipswich Town on Tuesday night. We're expecting them maybe to lose again at home against champions elect Wigan, but they put on one hell of a show and were denied a victory with a last gasp equaliser from a certain Mr. Will Keane, formerly of this parish. We're going to talk all about that, of course, in due course. But first of all, I've got three fellow Kings with me today. And the one I'm going to start with is, without doubt, my favourite king, the greatest natural raconteur I've ever met. It's the big pork of the Grand Porcine, the big pork thing, Mike of House Bacon. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, Heath. Wonderful, wonderful introduction. I appreciate that very much. Andy, I'm very well, thank you. Yes, not too bad at all. Sun shining, as you say. Yes, got the builder in still. Roger the builder, big Ipswich Town fan. And here he is. Helping me out here with a few. Well, help. He's doing everything. Basically, I'm not doing anything. Drinks tea for England. To be fair, drinks a lot of tea. But I'm not quite sure what's going to cost more, his time or the tea bags. But nice man, good man. We chat a lot about Ipswich Town. And he's very positive, which is good. So everything's fine. Thank you.
I'm never entirely sure with you, Mike, when you say you've got the builders in, whether that's a euphemism or a genuine thing. As I say there. Natural raconteur. Is Roger a leave the tea bag in sort of man? Is he a double tea bagger, so to speak?
No, he's not a double tea bagger, so to speak. He's he makes it. I've been making lots of tea, and he has a tea bag out, white, no sugar. I messed that up a couple of times early on, but I've managed to sort of quite well. After you do like 14 a day, you get quite into it, so everything's fine.
Super. How are the book sales going?
Book sales ticking along nicely. Yes, I sold a few more this week, which is nice to see. Doing very well. So I'm glad I had somebody come up to me the other week and say how much they enjoyed it, which extraordinary. But no, going very well. Thank you very much.
Excellent. And if you haven't got a copy of 38 Sleeps, available on Amazon and all good retailers, I believe, Mike.
Exactly, young Heathy. Exactly. Very good. I'll slip you a little something later on. fine. Financially, I meant there, of course. And yes, so thank you very much for the little plug. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Glad to have you on board today, Mike. I'm looking forward to your contributions. Andy, the Hutch man, Hutch Hogan, Mr. Hutch, Hutchy Hutch, rabbits in a hutch, eat some hay. That was a Mike Bacon style intro. Andy, how are you?
I'm all right. That's an Andy Warren style intro.
You, my friend, having missed Rotherham away, are now declining to go to Crewe as well for the spurious reason that it's your daughter's birthday this weekend. Ridiculous. No commitment whatsoever. So you're building up to what is sure to be a bigger event than Ipswich Town at Crewe, a child's birthday party at Hutch Towers. Talk us through it.
Talk us through it. Well, Mark, I'm afraid I decided I don't want to go and work at Crewe on my daughter's fourth birthday. And, I'm not going to apologise for it because I'm not sure how I would explain that to her in a few years' time. Why weren't you at my birthday party? Well, there was a very, very important dead rubber football match going on at Gresty Road.
Exactly.
And I just had to be there. So I'm not going.
This party, which I'm far more interested in than Ipswich Town at Crewe, is it themed? Is there a theme? What kind of party bags are we getting these days? I assume that's gone up big time. You get like an iPad in a party bag now, do you?
Hopefully no one that's coming is listening to that because they are not getting an iPad in a party bag. No, they're very, very innocent, very, very sweet little party bags. Bouncy balls, colouring pencils, all your essentials. No Excellent. iPads.
I assume you'll be live tweeting it as well, this party.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So follow Hutchie on Saturday as an alternative to Ipswich Town at Crewe. Someone who's been to many parties, Roscoe, the boy Ross. Mike, do you want to do your
It's a Ross Media UK, which I never understand. As I said, Heathy, my friend, I mean, perhaps you can enlighten me, because whenever I'm on here, you're never on here. And that's nice to be together. I don't understand what this Ross Media UK is. I mean, why isn't he called Ross Halls? I don't understand.
I don't understand this. Just put your name on there.
It's my Twitter handle. You got to plug your Twitter handle.
There you go. It's his Twitter handle. Yeah. And Ross isn't just a person, as we know. He's a whole media channel. Pretty much. How's that feel, Ross, being a whole channel to yourself?
I don't know. It's a bit of pressure, to be honest. I have to be alert at all times. And by the way, you said Mike is your favourite king, but I don't know if listeners heard. I heard he calls you Andy.
Did he?
Yeah. Absolutely. So listen to that back, and you'll hear him say Andy.
Well, we know where Mike's loyalties are then, don't we?
Absolute shambales, Mike, when I give you the big build-up. Rossi, how's things? How was Tuesday night before we get into the game? You enjoy it?
Yeah, very enjoyable game. We actually took our chances and scored them. But yeah, it was a very enjoyable night. Under lights. Just got to look forward to two dead rubbers now, which I'm sure we'll get into. But yeah, all good.
What would you rather be doing than going to Crewe on Saturday for a game that means absolutely nothing?
Andy's daughter's fourth birthday, to be honest.
Well, you're not invited.
You're not invited. Not invited. Oh. Right then, friends, enough of this nonsense and this intro madness. Let's talk football. Andy Hutch-Warren, when we spoke on Monday's podcast, you said of this game, which I predicted that Town would lose, you said, all I want to see is a team that shows fight and is up for the game and puts in a performance. And that's exactly what we saw, isn't it?
Yep, got that. Got that exactly. And anyone that was there would have obviously gone away disappointed that Ipswich didn't win. Wigan will have gone away disappointed that they didn't win, because one more goal for them would have taken them up. But all 21,000 people that were there saw a proper football match, which both left me really encouraged by what I saw, incredibly frustrated by the way that the result didn't finish how Ipswich wanted it. And really disappointed that this match had absolutely nothing on it, because it kind of, in its own way, kind of whet the appetite a little bit for what a meaningful game at this point of the season should feel like. Ipswich haven't had one at this point of the season in League One, of big game that has a real importance on it. And that made me sad, because Portman Road is set up to have nights like that. But hopefully there's the foundations of something to mean that, like, next April we're talking about some really meaningful big games at this point.
Yeah, 21,000 people there on a Tuesday night for a game that meant absolutely nothing. Fantastic. On Monday show, Andy, I went early and said that Town were a long way off being a serious promotion contender, and now I'd like to say that they're so close to being a serious promotion contender. That's my prerogative as your knee-jerk host. What did you like from this game? Because it certainly showed that Town can compete with a side that are going up from this league.
Yeah, I like the intensity, and that's not just sort of charging around, putting in tackles, headless chicken effort. It was like a managed intensity that lasted the 90 minutes, which was impressive to do that for the entire game. I liked how they were quite methodical in the way they attacked, and attacked from different areas of the pitch rather than just the right hand side. I liked the fact they were shooting from outside the box. I liked both of the goals that Ipswich managed to score in their own way. And it was just a good performance. A good football team showing that they are a good football team against the best that the league's got. I enjoyed the crowd. I enjoyed the pantomime back and forth with Will Keane, which was great, which was a real element to this game. And yeah, there was just loads to like. It was just a proper game that... didn't think we were necessarily going to get. So, yeah, really good.
Rossi, your privileged position pitch side, what did you make of the whole evening?
Yeah, going into it, I thought, oh, this is a pointless game, but the boys turned up and they were competitive against League One. Well, we'll be playing Championship football next season, Wigan. And as Andy said, Portman Road is set up for these big games. When the fixtures came out, in the summer, we were looking at this game. That was highlighted. Easter Monday, of course, it's going to be Paul Cook versus Liam Richardson. We know what happened with Paul Cook, of course. Of course, got moved to a Tuesday night under lights. But no, I enjoyed it. It was a game that I wasn't expecting. I thought Wigan were going to turn up and boss us. But it was the other way around. We dominated. Wigan, of course, took the lead. Will Keane was always going to score. He was always going to score. And great header for his first goal. Really good header. But no, enjoyable night. Good to see us take our chances. And Town fans left happy. Looking forward to next season.
Mm. Mike, I don't know if you were there or whether you've seen the game. I probably should check that before we kicked off, shall we say, on this podcast. But as a statement, playing that way against League One's champions elect, when really there's nothing on it for you, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Showing that Town really can compete and can play football at the highest level of this level.
Well, I think that's the thing. No, I wasn't there on Tuesday night. Rotherham was enough for me on Saturday. So I didn't see the game. But you're right. I'm obviously I've spoken to obviously Andy particularly since. And look, it is a statement game. It was clearly a good performance. And in the first half at Rotherham was fairly similar, a good performance. I think it's McKenna's. I'm hoping McKenna's seeing things and changing things and talking to his players and getting them to do different things. This is the way forward for Ipswich. They've clearly got the players. They have got the players. They've clearly got a squad good enough to be, where are they? 11th? 11th in League One? I mean, it's bizarre, you know. So clearly there's a squad there good enough. And they just need a manager and coaching to get them to the levels they should be at. Wigan came there, of course, win the match and they're up. Big match for Wigan. So for Town, that's a terrific result and clearly a terrific performance, which does bode well for next season. But we can talk about that later. A few extra players and a little bit more. And, you know, this weekend with Rotherham, then Wigan, has shown lots of good signs.
Yeah, lots of promise when they do play. Hutchie, before the game, we talked about the talking point mainly being whether Baggett would play or Burgess would come back. Obviously, Big Cam did come back. What else did you make of the side and who impressed for you on the night?
There wasn't an awful lot to make of the rest of the side. if I'm honest, like, I did think that Burgess would play for the reasons we talked about on Monday. He played really well. Matt Penny got a go on the left flank, so sadly only lasted till half time. He put in some really good crosses in that first half, and that's a side to his game that I really, really like. There are some other parts of it that need some work, but in a pure offensive sense, he's the best they've got in that on that left side. So that was disappointing for him to only get 45 minutes of it. As I alluded to earlier, I liked how they kind of attacked through the middle of the pitch. We've talked so much about Wes Burns being the only outlet on the right side, and he contributed in this game, but he wasn't relied upon. They went through the middle of the pitch a lot more. Morsi, Backinson, I thought, played well, sort of seemed to land on every ball that ran loose in the middle of midfield. Morsi played as Morsi does. Connor Chaplin had, I would argue, his best game as an Ipswich player. For me, he not only kind of offered the intensity that he always offers, to be fair. I don't think you can never criticise Connor Chaplin for a lack of effort, but he brought some real quality as well. So two first half moments, one where he slipped in Janoi Donassian with a really clever ball, and then another clever turn on Kel Watts, which made some space for him to free Selina to shoot. And then obviously a Connor Chaplin goal, which we know he can score, a bit of composure and dig a ball out of his feet, which he's very good at, making space for himself to shoot. So yeah, I enjoyed those performances and just how they were able to mix it up in the way they attacked, because they're going to need to do that. There's some of the pieces there for what needs to happen. It needs some real work. I was encouraged by this game, but I don't think it's probably changed my thoughts on the team in general, because we've known all along they're capable of playing that way. We know they've got good footballers in the team, but there's some of the pieces there. It just needs some work.
Mm. Are we claiming that Connor Chaplin goal ends Town's long drought from set pieces?
No.
Fair enough.
If we can if we want to. We'd see which narrative it suits from time to time. It was a goal from a set piece, I suppose, but
not how you'd want them to.
Not really. It doesn't suddenly make them this set pit dead ball threat, yeah. Does it? It's a goal from a free kick, but Chaplin did all the hard work there.
It's not how you draw it up in the old textbook, is it? Rossi, I understand as well that Town were having pops from range. Having spoken about this on Monday, why Town don't shoot from outside the box much. That was actually happening this game. Clearly, that's something they've discussed.
Well, not very well, though. Not really. but yeah, we're definitely not taking that set-piece goal because no one got the assist for the goal because it hit a defender and Chaplin was there and finished well. His 10th goal of the season, by the way. That's sort of gone under the radar. Like at the moment, the top goal scorer award is open for debate. You know, it could be Wes Burns. Macaulay Bond's still there, but Connor Chaplin could go and score a few against Crewe. You know, could score a few against Charlton. So that'll be sort of main talking point going into the final two games. But no, yeah, I think we had maybe more space to maybe take shots. Maybe Wigan was maybe more open than other teams. But we're still not very good at it. But sometimes we're just playing with freedom now. We've got nothing to play for. We've got two dead rubbers now. Just go for it. Go for a shot. You know, Sam Morsey's goal is in the box, of course, but a great volley from him. Another goal for him. I'm sure Hutchie's happy with that, seeing Morsey score.
Not bothered anymore, mate. All that money's gone.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
He lost all the money. All the money is gone.
Yeah.
You've lost it all?
Yeah. I just got rid of it all, mate. But I put it all on them to win.
Yeah.
So if you're going to lose 700 grand, you may as well lose the other 300. That's my motto. Okay.
Shall we talk before we get on to the kind of the negatives from the game, which will obviously include Andy losing all his money. Sam Morsey, a good goal, but the thing that's probably caught most people's eye was this ridiculous incident in the first half, which
if come on, lost, Mark. Off you go. Wind him up and off he goes.
If you've not seen the boys, Stewie and Andy, replicate that in the post-match reaction, that was lovely. It was a kind of tender, touching moment, actually. There's a little clip of it on the KOA Twitter feed. If you've not seen it, go and watch it or watch the whole thing on the KOA YouTube channel if you've not seen the reaction. I'm almost kind of past angry about this. When I saw it, I was incandescent with rage, and now it just makes me feel a bit sad that kind of thing happens and Morsey gets booked and Joe Bennett gets away with it. I don't know how Joe Bennett looks himself in the mirror. What kind of individual gets a slight brush on the forehead and hurls himself to the floor as if he's been picked off by a sniper? I just don't understand how he and Ethan Hamilton and players of that ilk look at themselves in the mirror for that sort of behaviour on the pitch. It's embarrassing. It's beyond embarrassing. It's pathetic. Mike, you're from an era where you were able to physically kick people and get away with it in front of the ref. What do you make of all this complete nonsense on a football pitch?
It's absolutely embarrassing, Ethan. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Complete embarrassment. I've just never seen anything like it. I mean, I do come from an era where you used to tackle people, proper, really tackle people. You know, if you headbutted someone, you headbutted them. You really did give them a woof. Go on. You know, I mean, you headbutted them properly, you know, and got sent off. I mean, it's just pathetic. And it's actually, it is, but on a serious note, you know, the likes of Sam Morsey, of course, as we know, has already been sort of pulled back, you know, retrospectively on something he did. You know what? This should be happening where players are called up and said, look, we've had a look at that. And that was cheating. And we're giving you a yellow. And actually, because it was your second yellow, we've actually given you a red. I don't know. But I mean, I know it's pathetic, isn't it? I mean, Speedway is another sport that I follow. I mean, they hurtle in the fence at 70 miles an hour, bounce back up and go on the rerun. You know, I mean, it is embarrassing. It's the only word I can think of. And it's not a good thing for football. Football it's doesn't terrible. Do itself any favours.
It's terrible for the game. It makes people turn off. I mean, I tweeted about it and obviously had a flood of comments from Wigan, less than complimentary, shall we say. But equally, there are people saying, that's why I don't watch football anymore. I can't watch stuff like that. Hutchie, you're a noted, violent, angry man yourself. What did you make of it? There's some people saying, on the town side of things, that Morsey deserved the yellow because he kind of dipped his head.
He is silly. He's silly. Like, I'm not going to defend Joe Bennett because it's clearly it's silly. It's not great, is it? But Morsey doesn't help himself, does he? Like, if he hadn't just, it's not much. It's just, but it is a little lean of the head in, and that's what encourages Bennett to do it. There's also some other footage I've seen since of an incident with the same two players, where Morsi gives him a bit of a clip round the head with his hand, yeah, which is in a similar-ish way to the Ethan Hamilton one. And, you know, he doesn't help himself. We've talked about it before, haven't we? He's quite handsy, but in that kind of thing. But all that said, it's still a pretty pathetic, isn't it? Really, all in all. But I don't have the energy to get angry about it. It's part of the game. We move on.
You don't do angry anyway.
Not really, mate.
On the Morsi debate, so we've seen that on Tuesday night. On Saturday afternoon, we saw him kick someone as they ran by him. Pretty blatant foul, which I enjoyed. But again, you're saying that there's certainly a debate. And again, I got this from people saying, well, what's Morsi doing? He's putting himself in positions where he can get booked and get sent off. He's our captain. That's not what I want from a captain. We've spoken before about how influential and inspirational Morsi can be, Andy. But after the game, McKenna made reference, didn't he, to getting involved in things they didn't need to get involved in, upsetting the flow of the game. So is that something that you'd like to see? Sam Morsi plays on the edge, doesn't he? He's clearly a very intense, competitive person. And if you play on that edge, sometimes you're going to go over the edge. So is that something that worries you about Sam Morsi? Is that something not, that, like me, really. I kind of want that from my captain. I want that kind of edge to his
game.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't. Look, I think there's times and places to do it. But I really like Sam Morsi, and I like his approach to the game. I think he can help himself a little bit sometimes, and that there may be times where it's costly for him and costly for the team. But if you try and change somebody, particularly at his age, he's been very successful as a footballer playing the game the way that he does. I love watching him play in terms of his play on the pitch, and I like his leadership. I think he is a true leader in there, in a very different way to what we've been used to in terms of Ipswich Town captains. So it wouldn't. I'd maybe say to him just take a second sometimes just to cool and think about things. But you can't try and change him, because if you start doing that, you'll change the player, and they need him. They need him to be leading from the front.
The thing that slightly worries me about it is I wonder if now opposition players are going to literally be trying to goad him just into little things that then they can hurl themselves on the floor.
I think he can handle that, though, because one thing I will say about Sam Morsi is that he's very, very good at, once he's been booked, that's almost kind of like the warning that he needs. I never feel like Sam Morsi is kind of a second yellow card danger. I think he's very, very good at doing what he needs to do. Maybe that's what gets him motivated for the game. Maybe it's what needs to be done to G the team up. It's all kinds of things. But I think he's very, very good at, when he needs to, just walking that tightrope really sensibly. So I'll be honest, it's not something I'm hugely concerned about. Love Sam Morsi as a football player, and I wouldn't want him to change. The second half of his season's been absolutely brilliant. Took some time to get going. As we've said so many times, I was a little bit disappointed with the first half of his season. But since 2022 has dawned, I think he's been really, really good.
Absolute machine. I do agree with Mike, though, in terms of people can go back and be retrospectively sent off or banned, as we saw with Moores earlier in the season. If that can happen, why can't we also retrospectively ban players for cheating? Let's not beat around the bush. Diving, cheating, simulating, being pathetic, whatever you want to call it. The only way to stamp that out, surely, is if you go back and start handing out punishments for that as well. Rossi, Ipswich Town were on the verge of their biggest scalp of the season, no doubt about it. Beating the League One champions at home would have been Town's biggest win of the season. I know there was nothing on it, but it would have been one hell of a scalp. Until they weren't. And predictably, it was that man we spoke about on Monday. Wouldn't it be lovely to have Will Keane playing for Ipswich Town? Oh, we did. It was inevitable, wasn't it? What did you make of Town eventually conceding that goal? Did it feel like it was coming?
Not really. I think sometimes we just need that killer goal. I think that's what we've sort of lacked this season. We've been on top, you know, leading from the front, looking, we're going on our way to get a top win. And then, well, Oxford happened, you know, on top the whole game, and then they go and score a late equaliser, and it was the same. And then, yeah, of course, it had to be Will Keane. Of course, Grian Edwards came off the bench as well. You thought, oh, here we go. He got a few boos. But I like Will Keane as a player. I know a lot of Town fans have now changed their mind on Will Keane because of what he did and his celebration. But at the end of the day, you're a new team. You're scoring, you know, potentially the goal that could get you promoted to the Championship. I don't mind that. Maybe some Town fans are a bit annoyed about that. But, yeah, he's a good player. Scored a goal. And, yeah, just a bit of a bittersweet ending, really, because it would have been an amazing scalp getting that 2-1 win against Wigan, who are going to be playing Championship football next season. But we just couldn't hold on, and they scored. And thankfully, we held on for the draw, because you just never know. Wigan would keep pushing, because they wanted to win. If they won, they would have been promoted, I think. But no, I'm proud of the boys, though. They got the point. And I think a lot of Town fans left that stadium pretty happy, because not because we didn't win, of course, but just happy with the progression that we made after the Rotherham defeat. You know, some people thought, oh, here we go, got three more games to go. Disappointing, but we were competitive against the League One elect of Wigan.
Hutchie, where do you stand on the whole Will Keane thing? A lot of Town fans very irate about his celebrations and giving him then something of a barracking, make it inevitable that he then goes and scores the equaliser. And the game as a whole, you referred to in your report as encouraging but frustrating. I'm assuming the frustration there is the fact they didn't hold on until the end and get the 3 points.
Yeah. I think if you're annoyed about Will Keane's goal celebration, you need to wise up a little bit and get a grip, because it's just it only happened because for the first goal, he went to go and collect the ball from the front of the north stand for the corner to be taken. And whoever was in the crowd had the ball, did the old classic, here you go, whee, and then chucked it to the back of the stand. That's the only reason he did that goal celebration. Will Keane isn't coming back to Portman Road ready to kind of go shushing the stands. He's kind of the most relaxed, kind of mild-mannered, respectful, one of the most respectful kind of footballers I've ever met, actually. He's and that was kind of purely in response to scoring within seconds of the crowd kind of doing that to him. So it's all part of it. It's all part of the fun. I love it. I love when Tyler Walker, for the various teams he's played for, has kind of got this funny little relationship with the North Stand. That's great. It's part of what gets crowds going, makes games feel important. Like Keno, what's the score was big, sung as loud as any song in that stadium once Morsi had put Ipswich ahead when they were back on halfway. I think that whole little subplot was a really good part of the evening, if I'm honest. More of it, please. I quite enjoy it.
It just adds to the atmosphere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is panto, but it adds to that kind of atmosphere and big game feel. Talk to me about frustration then, Hutchie. Town didn't manage to hold on for the 3 points. Was that your sole frustration from the evening, or were there other things that frustrated you?
Yeah, that was about it.
That was it. Okay.
Yeah. No, they played well. The first half had its frustrations, because it's a very similar tale to we've seen before of games where they've had the ball, had the chances. They played well in the first half, but a goal in stoppage time meant they went in a goal down. That's frustrating. And at that point, you're thinking this is the old deficiencies back once again. But it's just. Like I was saying earlier, just the frustration that actually this game didn't mean anything, because just imagine it, right? If things had been different, we're playing this game in the middle of Easter Monday, nice hot Easter Monday, Town are chasing the playoffs and chasing promotion. There was 21,000 in there for this on a Tuesday night. Mark Ashton's talked about getting 28 at Portman Road regularly. I think they'd have got it if this game had been relevant and played on Easter Monday. And that's frustrating in itself, because we're repeating what we were saying earlier, but it's just set up for this. They've got remarkably the crowds in this kind of sweet spot where getting more than 21,000 for a game where a mid-table League One side can't make the playoffs. Only 400 of those came from Wigan. So that's 21,000 Ipswich fans in there for it. So that brings its own frustrations, because it's disappointing that the season's got to this point with nothing riding on it.
Any other notes from the game before we move on, chaps? Anything else you want to mention?
I'm disappointed that Gwion Edwards didn't get to take any set pieces. because the last time I saw him take some set pieces, it was hilarious.
That was empty ground area, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Sent into orbit, into the top tier of an empty north stand. Sadly, he didn't get on any, because that I think that would have had its own pantomime moments at that point.
I think Connor Chaplin should be starting every game from the start of next season. That's my opinion. Connor Chaplin. I think what I've seen of Chaplin, he always does well. And I think he's been quite unlucky to be part of this continued recycling of that front three. Mm. I think he should have been given a continuation of runs, and he scored 10 goals, and he's been on the subs bench as much as anyone else, I know. Mm. But every time he does play, he does well and scores goals as well. I know Morsi's getting some goals now, which is nice. I think Connor Chaplin, I think McKenna should build a little bit more around Morsi and Chaplin next season. I really do, in that middle of the park.
Chaplin's an interesting one, because I spoke to him after the game on Tuesday night, and he's talking about how he's still learning this position, which he is. He's not naturally an attacking midfield player, so he's learning it. I think there have been plenty of games where I don't think he's affected the game anywhere near enough, but that's understandable, I think, because of the role he's being asked to play. And I think one of the big problems that Town have had is in playing these two dual number 10s, Mike, is that, and I think it probably speaks to your point a little bit, I don't think they work together particularly well. I think I quite like the setup of that area of the team with like these two creative players there, but I don't feel like there's a partnership there, and you want those two players to work together. They're each working with their flank, if that makes sense. So Chaplin would work on the right side with Burns and Danasian, and maybe Selena would work to the left side or vice versa, or Aluko in there. But the two of them don't link, and that's I think why maybe we're not seeing Town attack through the middle of the pitch as much as we'd like them to. And then you've also got the striker who, if we cast back to the MK Dons game, we're talking about Caden Jackson playing in that game and really stretching the MK defence, which then gives the two attacking tens, which I think off the top of my head were Selena and Chaplin that day, the room to work. So I think all in all, that whole area of the team needs some real work. But if you can build like a partnership in there where they're working in tandem and then working correctly with the striker at the top end of the pitch as well, which Jackson is probably the best suited for, then that's where you can make some real gains in this side, I would say.
I don't know if you heard there, but Benson was wholeheartedly agreeing with you, Hutchie. I do apologise for...
He's a big Chaplin fan, isn't he?
Massive. Similar size individual, actually, Benson. probably weighs the same as Connor Chaplin, I reckon. Anyway, that was excellent and interesting. And we will see. Let us know what you think about Connor Chaplin and how he should be used next season. Do you agree with Mike, who's gone very early there and said start him every game next season? Friends, should we move on to something a bit different? Should we do some mailbag, Hutchie? Do you fancy doing the honours for one of the final times this season?
This is going to sound horrific, all right, with my throat, but I will do it.
You're going to get a Barry White version.
Maybe this is the way forward. Ready?
I am.
Mailbag. It's time for Mark, Andy, Ross and Mike to dip into the mailbag.
That's terrible.
I like the look of panic on your face there, Hutchie, when you realise you hadn't taken account of who's actually on the pod.
Stu is all, yeah. I normally Stu is the middle one. And there's not normally four. So
no.
Do you think you can do better or something, Mike? I did hear your little comment there. Didn't go amiss. Would you like to have a little go?
Yeah, sure.
At all?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Mailbag.
Oh, my.
Mailbag with Andy, Mark, and Roscoe.
And you.
And me.
Wow.
Your drum's just blown up, by the way.
You're right. You're right. That's the way forward. You're the man.
I do apologise if you were driving and have now driven into a big tree.
when Mike suddenly broke into song. Hopefully you survive. Friends, you want football or non-football to start off with?
Always the non-football.
Always non-football. Chris Peachy wants to know, if Kings of Anger were a rock band, who would be lead singer, lead guitar, bass, drums? I want to say bass. Bass, drums, keyboard, etc.
So Mike's the singer, isn't he?
Absolutely, 100%. After that performance. Really? Yeah. Wearing leather trousers.
I have actually got some leather trousers. You want me to
I bet you have.
Yes.
Yes, I suppose so.
Right. They're black. Okay, black leather trousers. And I sometimes, but they are from years ago. They're not current. They're from many, many years ago. And I used to wear them with some very high heels. Which
platform shoes.
Yes, you got Andy. Exactly.
Yeah. Is this when you had your Bon Jovi sort of mane?
This was when we used to support and love Slade.
Wow.
And people like that, Slade, and just some fantastic groups, some glam rock stuff. You used to put a little bit of stuff under your eyes and wear your leather trousers, Ross. You'd have loved it. You'd have absolutely loved it.
What were you wearing on your top with the leather trousers? Or were you just shirtless?
Open shirt with a big hairy thing. You used to buy a hairy thing from the shop and stick it underneath to make you look like a big hairy chest.
If you do have a hairy chest, remember use code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery. There you go.
Keithy, congratulations. Well, fantastic.
Just plug the sponsor. So we've got Mike as the lead singer. Who else is doing what in this band?
Can I say, is it safe to assume that none of us actually have any musical ability whatsoever? So this is more of an image placement, right?
Other than my pre-discussed tremendous dancing ability. I have no musical ability whatsoever.
No, me neither. No. Ross has put his hand up to...
I can somewhat play the piano, somewhat.
Well, there you go.
Keyboards.
Ross is on keyboards.
I like the drummer. I'm sometimes unreliable, and drummers are unreliable. So you normally sack them after a while. So
the drummer's not meaning to be like the most reliable, because they kind of set the rhythm for the whole thing.
So Ross is doing drums and keyboard. What are me, you, and Stewie doing, Hutchie?
Sounds like you're on maracas.
I could be the Bez.
Could be Bez.
Just dancing around. Yeah. I quite like that. Yeah.
I'll slap some bass. I'll just pluck some strings very methodically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes Watson lead guitar? Would he be?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. He's got the image. He owns a leather jacket. So I think he does. At least I think he does. I think he's going to, he's going to fit into the image of this band quite well.
I quite like that. So just to review, Mike Bacon, lead vocals. Stuart Watson, lead guitar. Ross Hall's keyboard/drums. That'd be an interesting setup. Warren, bass. And me on the old maracas.
And just dancing.
Just hyping the crowd. Yeah, I like that. Excellent. There we go then. Look out for the album. Recording new music now, coming soon. Right then, let's do a football one, shall we? Let's see, where are we? Barney wants to know, Hutchie, probably one for you. Will McKenna be after a starting midfielder next to Morsey this summer? Or do you get the impression he's happy with Evans and Backinson in that area?
Well, Backinson's a question in himself, isn't he? Because we don't know if he's going to be here or not. I think he might. I wouldn't be in any way disappointed if they went into the season with Lee Evans as the starting midfielder next to Morsey. I really wouldn't. But I've just got this feeling. I've just got this feeling that he might. Evans has obviously missed games on a few occasions from knocks and injuries and stuff, has had long-term injuries in it in the past. So I've just got this feeling that he may well be looking for the true Morsey partner. And that could be in addition to signing Backinson as well. But I'll be honest, they go into the season with those three. I think they'll be in a much, much better midfield place than they were in August of last year when we were talking about Harper and Evans, which just didn't work. So, I've just got this feeling he might.
Feeling in Hutchie's water, thought you might be having another starting midfielder come in. On the Hotchie front, our old friend Mullet just asked, do you know you can buy the referee vanishing spray on the internet? And he sent me an Amazon link. So there you go. That'll go well with your referee outfit, Hutchie, which I'm hoping you're going to pull out at some point. let's do another football one. And I'm going to come to Mike and Ross on this one. Mark H, not me, says, would you keep one, two, or all three of Norwood, Bonn and Piggott for next season? I think all three could stay if we had a creative midfielder to supply the ammunition for them, plus an out-and-out winger. All three rely on scraps or burns for chances. So I'll come to you first, Mickey. Norwood, Bonn and Piggott. Piggott has really done nothing this season. Norwood and Bonn have obviously had success at times. All three, though.
I won't keep all three, and I don't think he will keep all three. I personally, it's my personal question, I would keep Piggott because I think Piggott is someone who needs a chance, a real chance. A half a dozen, I keep saying every week, oh, he's had his chance. He's had about two or three games and then he gets pulled off, a proper chance. So I'd keep Piggott just to see if he comes good, because I don't believe you suddenly go crap overnight. And do you know what? I'd keep James Norwood because I think he's in a team that I don't think is full of leaders and big personalities, Morsey apart, I think they need him. I think McKennan, that's why I think McKenna's been starting him a few times recently. I think he needs it. I know he made a right Rick at Rotherham, which is a nice little a lot of Rick at Rotherham. But overall, I think as an individual, I think he's a character. And I know people say, well, you can't just play characters. No, but clubs, teams need, the dressing room is vital. In football, a dressing room is absolutely vital. You know, the top teams over the years have always had strong dressing rooms. I think Norwood will probably provide that in the dressing room. I'm not saying he's going to start every game. He's not. But I'd keep Norwood and I would keep Piggott. And I think they'll go for another striker as well, mind you. I think we'll look to sign another one. I think Bonn might, well, just by the fact he's on loan, I don't think he'll stay. But that's my personal opinion.
Okay, so Mike's keeping Piggott and Norwood. Rossi, we know that your boy Bonn is not being kept in that scenario. What are you saying?
I agree with a lot of what Mike said, to be fair. I would probably keep Piggott because he's the only player that is on a long-term deal and he hasn't had his chance. And I'm sure Kieran McKenna wants to have a proper look at him in pre-season and going forward next season as well. I like Norwood. I think he can score at this level. And I think, as Mike said, he's a good character. And I think you do need to have characters at this level as well. In League One, you need to have proper good characters. But has James Norwood done his time now? He's been here 3 years. He's had his moments, scored a few goals, had some bad patches, had some bad moments. Do we let him go now? Is it his time to go? Or do we just give him that option? Because I know he's got an option. And he's out of contract this summer, but he's got that option. So do you just give him that option, see what he does? So that's what I'm pretty much going forward, I think. I'm doing that. So he's staying. Bonn, we all loved what happened at the start of the season. What a dream it was. But is that fairy tale over and shall we move on? Sadly. Sorry, McCauley. Sorry, Bonn. I think we should move on. And best luck to whatever he does next. If he does come back, I think a lot of Town fans still be happy. But I don't think that'll be the right decision. But we shall see.
Okay, so Mike and Ross agreeing there. I'm going to ask you, Andy, we will do this properly at some point, the whole out-of-contract loans, all that kind of thing, what we do with players. But what would you do with those three, Hutchie? Do you agree with the boys there?
You have a little drink, mate.
I will do.
Your throat's suddenly gone. Well, you're suddenly just...
I've been singing too much. Just hold on.
Bonn... It's hard, isn't it? There's a lot of a body of evidence to say that he's not the man to do it, isn't there? Now we've got 5 months worth, so unless there's a free transfer or a squad player sort of role available for him, I think it's got to be a no. It's not someone you're going to push for and spend big on now. How that's changed since October time. Norwood, I kind of agree with Ross in that I would quite like to have James Norwood around as a kind of a wild card option. I don't think he will be the main man. They're going to sign that guy. He's not here. They will sign their main striker. I'm absolutely certain of that. I like James Norwood. I've got no real worries about his off-pitch stuff that gets discussed so often. Doesn't bother me, really. But for I think for James Norwood, I think James Norwood needs to leave. I think he's at an age where he can go and get a good contract somewhere and go and be the main man. I don't think he needs to have his option taken and be the third choice striker. Mm-hmm. So for him, I think he can go and score a lot of goals somewhere else. And I think that might be the good thing for him. And Piggott, I just do not think that Joe Piggott fits what Kieran McKenna's trying to do stylistically, athletically. I don't think he's what Kieran McKenna wants in a striker. That's not to say that he can't score goals somewhere else, but I've not seen anywhere near enough from him to think that he can be a Kieran McKenna striker. And he sat on the bench and not getting games. He's not even getting off the bench. I think it's pretty clear that he's not really what Kieran McKenna's after. Whether he moves on or not is a different question. But I think he's going to be down the pecking order if he's still here. So I guess in short, that's probably a no to all three of those.
Well, let us know what you think about that. Andrew, and I'll start with you on this one, Hutchie, wants to know, with everything under review on and off the pitch, what would each king like to request from Mark Ashton, who's in Phoenix at the moment, for the press area? Clearly, that's why he's over there discussing what he can offer us in the press facility way. What would you like? We've spoken before about it's a bit antiquated, shall we say, the old press area there, isn't it? They've still got TVs up with built-in VCRs from, I imagine, about 1985. What would you like, Hutchie? You're up there more than any of us. What do you want?
I would like them to remove these. There's in front of us. I actually quite like the Portman Road press area. It's absolutely fine in my book. The view's great. The working space is good. There's lots of the Wi-Fi's decent. There's lots of room to move around. It's a bit dusty. Could get rid of some of the dust. But the one thing I really want them to do is remove these weird. They've installed some really nice lights in there this season at the top, like so shining down so you can see a bit better. But there's these old kind of lamps built into the desk which don't have bulbs in them and they don't work. But they're really annoying because it's right in my eye line of the goal at the south stand end. These two, and every game I've got, they're really thin, kind of like wire, like the width of a drinking straw. Mm. And I've got this urge to just bend it over the desk to get it out of my way. Every game I want to do that, and I've resisted for however about hundreds of games at Portman Road. I've managed to resist doing that. But if you could get rid of them, please, that would be
you don't want much at all, then. You just want to get rid of some broken old lights.
I don't need much, mate. I just want somewhere quiet and calming to work and a good view of the game. And I'll be honest, I don't really want anything else. Just get rid of those little lamps, please.
A man of simple pleasures, which could never be said about Mike Bacon. What do you want, Mike? Come on. A throne you want, don't you? You want those seats they're going to have in the dugout. You want a proper gaming chair style throne up there for the press posteriors.
And mashed potato. there's no doubt, you know, this pie business has got, there's even at Rotherham, Rotherham have copied Ipswich now. Even went to Rotherham and they said, have a pie. I just said a pie, and there it was, a pucker pie, wasn't it, Ross? Just a potato. It was nice, but it was just this obsession with just pies and nothing to go accompany them. Is I don't know what's happened. I mean, how many of you sitting around here go home tonight, say, what to your family, we've got pie tonight for dinner, and you just put one pie on a plate and serve it, or sit around a table with four pies and nothing? So yes, I would also like those televisions to work. I cannot stand television. Not like in the press box itself. I don't understand why you have televisions that don't work. Either take them all out or get them all to work. That would be useful.
Do you reckon they do work, Mike? Do you reckon they would actually, if you turned them on, do you think they would work?
This would be quite an interesting question, of course, Hutchie. I must be honest. Yes, if actually if they went on, would they actually work? I don't know, but we could even have Netflix on them, perhaps. So, you know, if the game was dull, we could be watching a box set or something. I don't know. But
Pole Dark, perhaps.
Pole Dark. Or dare I say Merlin. another box set classic, Merlin. So these sort of things, there's little things there that I'm hope Mark is discussing over in Phoenix as we speak.
I'm sure he is. How much money have we got to spend on players? Not interested. Let's talk about the press facilities. Let's get rid of those lights. Let's see if those TVs turn on, and let's do a little bit of tidy up. Rossi, your press facilities are slightly different in that your pitch side, obviously, you do still use the press room. You're a big fan of the press room. What would you like to see Town add for you personally?
To be fair, I think for League One, I think we've got one of the best press rooms in the league, really, because I know Andy made a good point a few weeks ago that sometimes we just want some water bottles, and we're pretty much stacked up with water bottles. We normally, you can just go in the fridge and there's plenty for you. I think, yeah, maybe just mix up the meals here and there. Like we get, there's pies or sausage rolls. It's just nice. It is Pie Gate pretty much on this podcast right now, because pies, yeah, they're okay to eat. But you've got,
they're not very healthy. I mean, no. You know, we've got to watch up. We've also been watching our weight and health and all this sort of thing. We used to have wraps or something, or, you know, if we're going to have food, which is lovely, and if we appreciate that, I mean, we could go down that little healthy option, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you set up some kind of outside catering business, Mike? If you're not covering the games at Portman Road, you could come down with a little trolley or one of those little sandwich boxes that go around the neck, and you could go around and
I could wear a little pinny.
You could,
yeah, and stand in the press room and just sort of yes, I agree, Hutch. That's a very good idea.
You know how at like big sporting events, like you see like people walk around the concourses and have like backpacks on that have got beer in them with a little thing.
Yeah,
you could do that with mash. You could have like a little mash. Dispensing.
Just slop it at people. Yeah.
A mash gun.
Do you know what those people are? Do you want to know what those people are called?
What?
Yeah.
Hawkers.
Yes.
That sounds.
I've hawked.
Have you?
Past. Yeah.
Have you?
Oh, I've hawked.
There's so much we need to talk about. Hawking and being a hawker makes it sound a lot cooler, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Than walking around just giving people mashed potato. Right. I'm going to ask.
There was no mash. Sorry. It was beer.
It was just beer. Okay, friends, a couple more questions we're going to take. A couple actually arising from things we've just discussed. Sandwich wise, Foyster wants to know, what is the greatest sandwich filling of all time? Mike?
Well, thank you for that. Yes, the greatest. Well, do you know, I'm quite a simple person, really. I mean, you know, a pie and mash, cheese and onion. I like a nice cheese and onion sandwich. I find cheese and onion quite a nice little, you know, especially get a nice strong onion. It's got to be a strong onion, though. Wow. So cheese and onion would be my a little preferred sandwich. Although, again, cheese is not too healthy for you, Roscoe. You know, so perhaps you should be going down the salmon and dill or something. But I'll stick with cheese and onion.
Why don't you just go onion then? Just have an onion sandwich.
Well, you could. Onion's good for you. Yeah, I suppose you could have an onion sandwich. But a little cheese is quite nice, I think. Just a flavour.
That sounds miserable. An onion sandwich.
Hmm. All right, if it's maybe fried onions, but again, that's not healthy.
You want something else in there, don't you?
Surely. You want a sausage, don't you? Hutchie, what are you saying? Sandwich filling. What's your go-to?
I like either a chicken and bacon sandwich with a nice peppery mayo in there, or a ham and mustard on nice grainy ham and mustard.
We're talking fiery English mustard there, are we, as opposed to...
Not bothered. I'm fine with any mustard, actually. I quite like the variety. Mm-hmm. But I've also kind of nailed down my own kind of signature sandwich from Subway over the course of the last few months. It's a very simple sandwich. It's just some roast chicken, lots of peppers, some olives, a twist of black pepper, and a squidge of their Southwest sauce.
Nice. So can we walk into Subway and ask for the Hutch?
You should try. I think it'll be interesting to see what they give you. But
if you are listening, Subway in Ipswich, we can do a tie up here, an offer on the Hutch sandwich. I'd love people to walk into shops and order the
Hutch.
It's
simple, not too many ingredients in there. You get all the flavors of the things you want. My brother, right? He literally goes in there. We do this like once a month, maybe. He has everything, like he'll choose like some kind of meat, and then he'll have literally all of the salad options. It's just too many. You're not getting flavors there. You're mixing together too much, and his sandwich doesn't even close. It's a disgrace.
Is that then a sandwich?
It's an open sandwich, one of those Scandinavian kind of open sandwiches. But keep it simple, not too many ingredients. Taste your true flavors, and you'll be rewarded.
please, someone go into Subway this week and order a hutch and see what happens. Let's get that ball rolling. Rossi, you're going to have some mental sandwich filling, I reckon. What's your favourite sandwich filling?
I just like ham and cheese, to be fair. ham and cheese, job done. I also like tuna as well. Big fan of tuna. Bit of tuna.
Who isn't a big fan of tuna? I've often said. mine would be friends, coronation chicken. Can't beat a bit of coronation chicken. Love it. And there's one more question arising from what we just discussed. Box sets. I think Ian, where are we? Ian Wallbank, I think it was, asked, what's the best box set you've ever watched? Mike, you said Merlin. I've never heard of Merlin. What is that?
I beg your pardon. Did you just say I've never heard of Merlin?
Yeah, what's Merlin?
Merlin's the boy wizard, Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, the little lad Merlin. He sort of looks after him. He's a little wizard who sort of looks after him. He's got all these he's got this magic. It's wonderful, Merlin. Wonderful, a very soft but heartening box set. I feel, rather than all this roughy, tufty, unnecessary violent stuff we get.
What is it? Is it like a cartoon? What is it?
That's not a cartoon. It's Merlin. Merlin. He's a Merlin. He's Merlin. He's Merlin.
Stop saying Merlin.
That's what he does. So Arthur is going to set to be king, and Merlin is like his little, well, I would say slave. He's not his slave. He looks after him. And Arthur keeps getting and his eyes go orange. You see, Merlin's eyes go orange when he's producing magic. See, so he stops like a sword flying towards Arthur's head to cut his head off. And it flings another way because Merlin saves him and keeps looking after him.
What era are we talking here?
Talking, I don't know, 10th century. When did I, well, when was
no, King no, Arthur? not not when the story's from. When was it made?
The first box set was made in the 10th century.
Do you know what? I'm getting cross now because you really are being silly. It was around about 2008-ish.
Really?
10. Boy, 8, 10.
Boys, have any of you ever heard of Merlin?
Merlin make football stickers in my book.
But as a series, I'm not aware of this at all. No. Okay, well, there you go. Look out Merlin, if you can find it. That's Merlin. Hutchie, what's your favourite box set? What's the best one you've ever watched? Box sets are kind of faded from memory now, aren't they? Traditional, actual having the hard copies of the box set.
Sopranos was my first kind of actual hard copy box set that I loved. So that, and also, Friday Night Lights is another that I really enjoy. I actually have that box set of that still.
Excellent. Excellent book, that. I don't know if you've read it, Friday Night
Lights. No, I've not seen the film either. I'm just all in on the series. Matt Saracen, Tim Riggins, the lads, smash.
Excellent. Rossi, what's your favourite box set?
A mixture, like there's some series that I really love, but then the ending just kills it for you. Like Dexter, like I know they've recently brought a new one back, and it is what it is. But like Lost as well, I was all in with Lost.
Oh, Lost was dreadful. That was awful. That's the worst thing. It was dreadful.
Through the journey, but then you sort of regret. You just, what have I just watched? Like Prison Break once again. Like you, in a way, I'm bringing out a Peep Show reference here. I feel like we're in a prison watching Prison Break because trying to escape it and stuff. Right, Inbetweeners is the standard. Only Fools and Horses is the standard. Gavin and Stacey is the standard. Naming every show now, pretty much. But those just British every show. British comedy, just British comedy. I love it.
You've just named every show that's ever been made on TV. I'm gonna go. By the way, Lost is one of the worst things I've ever watched. I wasted about 6 years of my life watching that shite, and it turns out at the end they're all dead. Sorry for the spoilers. I think people know if they care. My this is a fairly predictable and obvious answer, but Breaking Bad is tremendous. Watch that all on box set. That's good. Amazing. If you've never watched Breaking Bad, you've missed out. Go and watch that. I'd suggest even watch that over Merlin, Mike, as angry as that's going to make you. Right, two more questions, friends, and then we can literally pay lip service to the game at Crewe, which means nothing this weekend. Speaking of which, James McCallum wants to know, with the season mathematically over, many players get accused of downing tools and being, quote, on the beach. Is that the same with sports journalists and writers like yourselves? Will Stu and Andy start writing nonsense? And will Ross start snapping pictures of Portman Road seagulls? Hutchie, you missed Rotherham. You're not going to Crewe. some would say, a fair argument. But no, this time of year, as someone who's worked in newspapers for more than 20 years now, every year when we got to the summer, certain colleagues would come over and go, what are you going to do now? The football's finished. I assume you're just going to take 3 months off. And you go, I've never heard that before. And in fairness, back in the day when papers were just papers and there weren't websites to worry about, we did move away from football over the summer and you'd write about cricket and athletics and things like that. And now, of course, then we didn't really know what people were reading, what people cared about. Now we have web stats and we know that no one cares about anything other than Ipswich Town. So no, if anything, we'll ramp it up over the summer. Clearly, everyone needs to get a break. But the summer is one of our busiest periods now, isn't it, Hutchie?
Last summer certainly was.
Yeah.
That was certainly no break. One day we should just... Next time a colleague does talk about our big 3 months off,
yeah,
let's just do it.
Just take
all right, actually, yeah. Yeah, we are.
See you in August.
See you in July, mate. Might do the last pre-season game, might not.
Yeah.
But no, no, there's no on the beach. No on the beach in this business. We'll still Absolutely be doing not. Podcasts, won't we? We'll still be doing all the fun of summer. June might be a little bit quiet, but May's going to be interesting. And then it all gets going again at the start of July, pre-season. So there's not much time for the beach.
Mm. Obviously, Speedway over the summer, Mike, big one.
Mm. Yes, I love the beach. Quite honestly, I could spend ages on the beach. I could spend all the time on the beach in the winter as well as the summer. So I'm a bit of a beach bum, if you like. Quite happy with the beach. But no, football's rather a 12-month business these days. It used to be when I first started little journalism 150 years ago. You used to have a little break between sort of, used to last match was in April and you didn't start me until, sometimes August the 20-somethings. But not these days. As Andy said, there's no beach. But a Speedway, of course, this summer, which is nice. Always like a bit of Speedway in the summer. It's always the Ipswich. If you're not an Ipswich Town fan, you become an Ipswich Witches fan for a few months. Why not? But yeah, there's football doesn't really stop. And I mean, the thought for me that Andy and Stu would ever begin to write rubbish is just I can't even start to even go down that road. I can't even think that would ever happen, Andy.
Never. I mean, you did see the League One kit rankings last week, of course. that was the away kits to do.
That was expert analysis, and it's one of the most read things that we've produced this month. So don't knock it, Hutchie.
Mate, you wait to the away kit rankings.
I can't wait. I want it now.
Wait a little bit.
Right then, final question on mailbag. Chris Miles, this is a good question, and I suspect we're all going to have strong views. What do you guys think is the hardest to do? A 147 in snooker, a 9-dart finish in darts, brackets, Mark's favourite sport. Not really a sport, neither snooker if we want it. Or a hole-in-one on a par 3. So three epic sporting / pub game achievements there. Rossi, I'm going to come to you first. I know you like your darts. What do you reckon? 147 in snooker, 9-dart finish, or a hole in one and a par 3?
I'm more of a pool man, to be fair. But I don't know what you could do in pool. Is it just a whitewash? Just whitewash your opponent. You just get all the balls
down. That's not even close to getting on this list.
No. I think the golf one, really, to be fair, because it's a bit harsh saying more skill in it, but there's more, I don't know, you've got to do a lot of more movement and you've got to be, I don't know, you've got to be more eye with snooker. A lot of practice, boom.
Easy.
Dart, same, easy.
I could do a 147, no problem. Just a bit of practice.
So you're
saying golf. Mike, you are a golfer. Have you ever had a hole-in-one?
I have never had a hole-in-one, unfortunately. No, been close on a few occasions, but never had a hole-in-one. But I don't think golf hole-in-one is as difficult as getting a 147 in snooker, to be quite honest. I think a 147 in snooker must be the hardest. I mean, try and get 9. I mean, you play darts. I mean, you try and just get one treble 20 is a miracle if you ever throw 3 darts, let alone 9 on the trot or whatever. So I will go snooker just ahead of darts.
Mm. I think I'd discount the golf hole-in-one. I mean, clearly that is your aim when you're teeing off, but no one thinks they're realistically going to get a hole-in-one when they hit the ball. There's an element of luck there. So I'm saying it's between the 147 and 9-dart finish. What are you saying, Hutchie?
100% the snooker. 100%. Yeah, by an absolute mile.
Why is that? Show you're working.
Just the amount of shots required to make that happen. It's like, what is it, like 42 shots?
Well done, actually. How'd you suddenly come up with that number? That's brilliant. 42,
I think I'm right in saying it's it's 42 bits of perfection.
You've got to be in position all the time, haven't you, as well? I mean, yeah,
I watch in awe of those. Just I'd love to be able to kind of work my way round a snooker table. Like I would class myself as a pretty good pool player, and my highest break in snooker is like 26. Mm. Like not even close. Like 147 is amazing to do that.
You've swayed me. I'm saying 147. Have you ever been to watch snooker?
I've been to a world championship final of snooker.
To watch it or to cover it?
To watch it.
To watch it?
Yep. I went to the first session of what is widely regarded to be the worst world championship final in history. I believe it was Peter Ebdon against wee Graham Dott. Do you remember Graham Dott?
Little
Graham Dott. And the first, I really enjoyed it. It was great. I went with my friend Chris, but it was a lot of fun. But the first frame had to be re-racked because they kept playing safety shots that, you know, when you just kind of just tap the ball into the reds from like and make it touch, like the slightest touch, they just kept doing that. And the referee just went, I've had enough of this. We're re-racking and starting again. It was stalemate.
What's the crowd experience like? Because you're not allowed to make any noise, are you? So do you sit there literally stifling coughs and sneezes the whole time? I'd feel like I was really on edge.
Yeah. It's not like for what it was. It was a really good experience, but it's not like the most vibrant of sporting events. You sit there and you get a little if you pay, I think another fiver, and you can listen to the BBC commentary on your little earpiece thing. It was good though. No, it was an experience, one to tick off. But I won't be. I don't think I'll be rushing back. I was really annoyed though because I can't remember which one of them it was, but one of them beat Ronnie O'Sullivan in the semi-final. And I obviously I knew I was going and would much rather have watched Ronnie O'Sullivan than either of those two. But yeah, 147's really hard.
There you go. Good questions. Thanks for that. And for everyone else who asked questions, obviously we can't take them all, but appreciate it. Please do keep getting involved and we'll get to them at some point. I think we're going to start doing a spin-off show, which is just going to be mailbag because we get so many good questions. We want to get them all in. Right then, friends, that's mailbag done. Final thing to discuss this week, crew away on Saturday. Hutchie, you're not going to be there. Do you give a flying fox what happens at crew on Saturday? Can you even bring yourself to discuss it right now in this virtual forum?
No. No, of course I do care. It's I said on the when we talked on Monday, I said that for me the Wigan game was the final game of the season, really, where I think we'll learn anything really about McKenna's team and the way forward and things like that. Crew are long gone. I think the players could have got they clearly did get themselves up for the Wigan game. But I think Ross said on Monday, it might even have been earlier in this podcast, we've been going that long. But he said that you just want to go and smash Crew. Was it? Did you say that? Was that today or was that on Monday, Ross?
That was Monday.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah. So, why not? Go and smash Crew. But it's not going to... Even if they did that, it's not gonna change my thinking on an awful lot of things, if I'm completely honest.
I'm assuming we won't see Rakeem Harper. They won't let him play against.
Well, I would assume not. But if there's ever a time to let him play, it's this. There's absolutely nothing on it. I think you could learn quite a lot about Rakeem Harper if you let him play in this game. I'd be surprised if they did let him. I'll ask Kieran later on in the press conference this afternoon. But I'm sure the original loan agreement had a clause that said he couldn't play because they all do. But if there was a way of negotiating that out of the loan deal, that would interest me. That would interest me more than anything else to do with Ipswich Town, actually, how that would play out.
Seeing Harper come up against Morsey and co. Rossi, you said you wanted them to smash Crewe, and clearly, although there's nothing on the game, having just drawn at home in a very entertaining game with the champions elect, going and getting a big win at Crewe would all help build more momentum, wouldn't it, towards next season?
And indeed, and it also finds out who will be the top goal scorer, because if we can see a lot of goal scorers on the score sheet, that would be good to see. Of course, this is also the Liam from Crewe derby. I'm looking forward to it. He'll be in the away end at Gresty Road, but he will also have his hometown taking on his current supporting team. So he's been looking forward to this all season. When the fixtures came out, he earmarked that. And of course, we thought this was going to be a game where we could be maybe celebrating and getting into the playoffs or even winning the league. But we all know what happened. But I know he's looking forward to this one. But yeah, just let's just have a bit of freedom and let's just score some goals and let, you know, there'll be, I'm sure the away end, the last away game of the season, there'll be inflatables, all that sort of bits and bobs. A lot of town fans just want to end the season on a high and score some goals, please.
Is that what Sky Sports are officially selling the game as, the Liam from Crewe derby? Is that the tagline?
Should be.
Mike, we know, obviously, we want to see Town win. We want to see him get a few goals. Is there anything on the pitch player-wise that you want to see at Crewe? Is it time now to maybe start seeing a few players we've not seen so much? We talked a few games ago about the likes of Tyree Simpson, Cameron Humphreys. We've seen Elkin Baggett. Any of those you'd like to see, or any ones that have been on the fringes that you think maybe should get a bit of time before the end of the season?
I was really impressed with Baggett at Rotherham, obviously. Surprised he didn't start against Wigan. No reason he shouldn't. Burgess is back. But maybe he might get another run at maybe Simpson. But Simpson doesn't seem to be anywhere. Crewe's actually, I've been to Crewe actually. I've been to Crewe twice this season, would you believe? I've actually been there twice already this season. I've got friends up there near Nantwich. And so I've seen Crewe a couple of times already. And in fact, Andy said to me, how did Rakeem Harper play? And rather strangely, I couldn't actually remember because he didn't really sort of do a lot. And I had to actually check my program. He actually was playing. I don't think he's had a great time up there. But it's got one of the Crewe's got one of the tallest stands in Christendom on the far side where the dugouts are. It just goes up and up and up and up. It's most bizarre compared with the rest of the ground. But that wasn't your question, was it? Your question was, would I like to see the Ipswich Town players? I really don't. I'm not being fair. I really care less, to be honest, quite frankly. If you're not going to give them 10 minutes now, don't bother. Start them in pre-season. But I'd like to think one or two might get a few 10 minutes here or 10 minutes there. But there's still a lot up in the air with Mr. With Kieran McKenna and his players. So I don't think he will start throwing people around. We have mentioned this, but can't see it myself.
I'm not going to bother asking for predictions because obviously it's pointless. It's a dead rubber game, but let's hope it's a decent win for Town. One final thing to discuss before we take our leave on this somewhat epic podcast. Hutchie, on Monday, we spoke about the challenge awaiting Town in League One again next season. And since we spoke, we know one of the teams that will definitely be joining League One next season. My hometown side, the mighty, or not so mighty as the case is now, Derby County, the Super Rams. What do we make of that? And clearly on the face of it, Derby County is a huge football side to have down in League One, joining a lot of other big football sides, but they're in a bit of a mess. What do you expect from Derby in terms of it being a challenge to Town and promotion next season? There's a lot of unanswered questions, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing for Derby, that they should take a little look over their shoulder and look down and see what League One looks like and not be getting too excited about what might happen. The team that they've got on the pitch, Rooney, sounds like Rooney wants to stay, which would be a massive thing for them and a massive thing for League One, really, actually, to have Wayne Rooney managing in it. But they've got a team that, all things being equal and points deductions not being there, would be kind of a lower mid-table, I think, now, like Championship club. So they've kind of got themselves through on their home record, which has been, I think their home record is something like the fifth or fourth best in the Championship, but their away record is woeful. So I think there must be an element of them kind of being sucked through on kind of emotion and heart and fight and kind of everyone pulling together, which they'll have to find again in League One. But they can't take anything for granted whatsoever. Just look at Sunderland, Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday could still be here. These big clubs don't get it all their own way. I'm sure they'll be in the mix, in the conversations. Wayne Rooney will mean that they're in those the mix and conversations that are being discussed over the summer. But I think it's just another club to add to what is a growing sort of number of big League One sides. Peterborough are the ones that worry me. I think Peterborough have got the potential to come down and under Grant McCann, who last time he was in this league took Hull up, obviously. They're not down yet, but I think they will, and I think they could be the real force. But Derby might just have some challenges ahead of them. But Pride Park's great. Looking forward to going again.
Pride Park is a lovely stadium. Doesn't hold the same place in my heart as the baseball ground did. When the pitch was more sand than grass back in the day, but you were very close to the action. Obviously, Derby, the big question is the takeover. If that's going to happen, when it happens by, can they avoid more points deductions? How many players are going to stay?
Yep.
There's so many questions this summer. But if they get things sorted and they do get the takeover done and Rooney does stay, you'd imagine that Derby will be, again, a bit of a challenge for everyone who wants to go up next season. League One's mental, isn't it? When you look at the teams that are in there now. We shall see. Friends, any other business? Like I say, this has been a 75-minute podcast, almost the full 90. Anything else to mention?
No other business.
I'll tell you what, Mike, you can plug your Jason Dazelle podcast for people who've not listened to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jason Dazelle. Spoke to Jason Dazelle recently about the 91-92. It was 30 years, of course, Ipswich fans, this month, not just this year, this month that Ipswich Town went up from the old second division into the inaugural premiership. I spoke to Jason Dazelle about that and all about John Lyle, the wonderful manager, and that team. So that's on the KOA. You can listen on the KOA podcasts. The people who have listened to it have really enjoyed it, which is great. And Jason was great. And of course, you know, talking about celebrations of Will Keane, he had a bit of an unfortunate celebration when he came back with Spurs. And you guys might not remember, but he went a bit berserk towards a North Stand, which he always regretted ever since. He mentions that and talks about that 91-92 team, where, of course, you know, Ipswich went up in 2000, remember, from Wembley, having finished third in Division One to get into the Premier League. This team actually won Division One to get into the inaugural Premier, or Division Two as it was then, to get in the Premiership. So, nice to chat to Jason. Good stuff.
Go back and listen to that. It's on the KOA feeds. And you've also got Craig Forrest as well, haven't you, coming up?
Craig Forrest coming up. Yeah, I think next week we've got Craig Forrest. I spoke to him in Canada. He was great with his Ipswich Town Goldies jerseys in the background. So you'll be able to catch some of them. Hutchie, I know you like a football shirt. There's one or two there.
I've actually seen some bits of the video you did with him, I think, and the kits that he got to wear were amazing. Just
brilliant, weren't they?
There's one in particular that's like kind of like a grayish brownish beige base, but they've just chucked a load of color on it. I don't know, it was an Umbro one. Who designed it? Some kind of hallucinogenics at the time, but it's absolute cracker.
Has Craig still got the hair, Mike? Has he still got the
No, he's got a little less hair than the beard's got so much big frizz. But the irony is, he started talking about when he first came to Ipswich, and he said, I came to Ipswich and I stayed in Leonard's Road, which bizarrely was literally 200 yards away from where I lived. And I never knew it. And we're literally, and I said, well, it's only for her. And we started talking about pubs and the locality and all sorts of things. It's wonderful.
Imagine you in a forest out on the town back in the day with your hair just blowing in the air, your leather trousers. God, dear.
He's a bit bigger than you, Mike. You'd need those those platform shoes that you spoke about. They would need to be a good meter, probably.
Exactly. Yeah. It's good, though. He's a really good talker, and it's a real good podcast coming
Excellent.
Up.
Keep an eye out for that. I think we're talking about putting that out on Sunday at first thing Sunday morning, so it should be ready for you. Friends, this has been something of an epic podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for sticking with us. If you have got to this point, well done. Please support our sponsor. I've already mentioned them, Manscaped. Use the code COA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery on all the excellent stuff there. And also follow us on social media, Kings of Anglia, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you are going to Crewe this weekend, well done. You'll be joined there by Stu and Rossi, so look out for them. And we'll be back next week to talk about it and look ahead to the final game of the season. So have a great one, whatever you're doing, and we'll speak to you then.
Crime to football, Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.